Okay, ever tried to really like wrap your head around something you can't see? Like that spooky force, you know, that makes balloons stick to your hair after you rub them?
Right, static electricity.
Exactly. We're talking about electric fields today, and let's be honest, visualizing them can feel a bit like trying to grab smoke.
It really can. It's abstract.
But what if there was a way, like a technique, to build a really powerful, almost intuitive mental picture of this fundamental idea?
That's exactly what we're diving into today. We're going to explore the concept of electric field lines.
Field lines, okay.
Yeah, it's quite a brilliant approach, actually. It takes this abstract notion of an electric field and gives it a visual structure you can almost, well, almost feel. Our sources for this deep dive explain precisely what these lines are and, maybe more importantly, how this whole visualization thing really revolutionized how we understand forces acting at a distance.
Right, acting across empty space.
Exactly. Think about it. Before this concept, how could scientists really picture how, say, one charged object influenced another one way over there?
Yeah, good point. So our mission today for you listening in is basically to build a solid visual and conceptual understanding of these electric fields.
That's the goal.
We're not going to get bogged down in really complex equations. Instead, we're aiming for that kind of aha
For
moment
it just clicks.
where this key physics idea just clicks. Consider this maybe your shortcut to intuitively grasping something truly fundamental about how electricity works.
Okay, so where do we start?
Yeah, where do we even begin making sense of this invisible influence?
Well, I think a logical first step is just to understand that an electric field, it has both strength and direction.
Okay, magnitude and direction.
Exactly. And anything with both of those things we call a vector quantity. So imagine drawing an arrow at any point in space around a charged object.
Like little signposts.
Kind of, yeah. The arrow's direction would show you which way a tiny imaginary positive test charge would get pushed or pulled if you put it right there.
Okay.
And the length of that arrow, that tells you how strong the electric field is at that exact spot. Longer arrow, stronger field.
Gotcha. Our materials mention a figure 1.12 that shows this, right? With arrows around a charge.
Yes. That figure gives a great picture of these vector arrows pointing, radially out from a positive point charge.
So, okay, we're picturing all these little arrows everywhere, some long showing a strong push, others short for a weaker one, maybe all pointing away from a positive charge, let's say. But that sounds like it could get pretty messy visually, wouldn't it? Just arrows all over the place.
It would, yeah. A bit chaotic.
So how do we get from this collection of individual arrows to the more organized picture you mentioned, these field lines?
Precisely. So the next step is to imagine connecting those individual vector arrows, specifically the ones that are pointing in roughly the same direction.
Ah, like connect the dots, but with arrows.
Sort of. And when you do that, you start to see these smooth, continuous lines emerging from the pattern.
Okay.
And these are our electric field lines. You could think of them as the paths a positive test charge would naturally follow if you just, let it go in the electric field.
Like currents in a river.
That's a good analogy. It's a
Yeah.
way of seeing the overall pattern and structure of the field, not just isolated points.
Okay, so we've swapped a whole bunch of individual arrows for these smoother, continuous lines. Now, those arrows, like you said, their length told us about the field's strength.
Right.
When we just have these lines now, have we lost that information? How do we know how strong the field is just by looking at lines?
That's a really, really good question. And the answer is no, that information is definitely still there. It's just represented differently now.
Okay, how?
So now the strength or the magnitude of the electric field is shown by how close together or far apart these field lines are.
Ah, the spacing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What we call the density of the lines, where the lines are bunched tightly together, the electric field is strong.
Okay.
And where they spread out with more space between them, the field is weaker.
Right, like thinking about maybe rain, where the raindrops are closer together, it's raining harder.
That's another good way to think about it. A dense collection of lines means a stronger electric field in that area.
That makes a lot of sense visually. So a really powerful field would look like a tight bundle of lines, and a weak field would have lines that are more spread out.
Precisely.
Now, our source material also mentions something important. It says that someone drawing these might choose to draw, say, 10 lines, while someone else might draw 20. Does the actual number of lines we choose to draw matter?
That's a crucial clarification, yes. The exact number of field lines you decide to draw is, well, it's actually arbitrary.
Arbitrary, so it doesn't mean anything specific.
Not the absolute number, no. It's the relative density that's physically important.
Relative density, meaning how close they are compared to somewhere else.
Exactly. You could draw 10 lines or 100 lines coming out from a charge. What truly matters is how those lines spread out as you move away, or how their spacing compares in different regions of space.
Oh, okay.
In fact, you could even conceptually think of an infinite number of lines existing. It's the pattern of their density that tells the real story about the field strength.
Right. So it's all about how close they are to each other, relatively speaking, not the total count you see on the page. Makes sense.
Yep.
Now, usually the pictures we see, like in textbooks, they're flat. They're 2D drawings.
Right. On paper or a screen.
But electric fields exist in the real world in three dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
How does this 2D drawing idea translate to what's actually happening in 3D space?
That's a key point. We have to mentally extend the concept. When we talk about the density of field lines representing field strength in three dimensions, we really need to think about the number of lines passing through a small unit of area.
Area, okay.
Specifically, a cross-sectional area that's oriented perpendicular, you know, at a right angle, to the direction of the field lines themselves.
Hmm. Like holding up a little window perpendicular to the flow.
Exactly like that. Imagine holding a small loop, like a tiny wire hoop. The number of field lines piercing through that loop depends on how strong the field is and how you're holding the loop relative to the field direction.
Okay, I think I can visualize that. So let's take a simple case. A single point charge. The field lines are radiating outwards in all directions, like spokes on a wheel, but in 3D.
Like a sea urchin.
Yeah, okay. Like a sea urchin. How does this picture, this density idea, connect to that really important physics concept, the inverse square law? You know, the one that says the field strength drops off really fast as you get further away?
This is where the visual power of field lines really, really shines. It demonstrates it beautifully.
How so?
Okay, imagine drawing a series of imaginary spheres centered on that point charge. One small sphere close in, then a bigger one, then an even bigger one further out.
Got it. Nested spheres.
Right. Now, the total number of field lines coming out from that central charge is fixed, isn't it?
Yeah, we said the number itself is arbitrary, but let's say we drew 100 lines. Those 100 lines have to go outwards.
Exactly. So those same 100 lines have to pass through the surface of the small inner sphere, and they have to pass through the surface of the much larger outer sphere.
Okay.
But the surface area of a sphere gets much bigger as its radius increases, right? It goes up with the square of the radius, that 4-4 formula.
Right. Bigger sphere, much bigger surface area.
So if you have the same number of lines spread out over a larger area on the bigger sphere, the number of lines per unit area, the density must decrease.
Ah. And because the area increases as r squared.
The density, which represents the field strength, must decrease as 1 over r squared.
Wow.
The field lines naturally spread out in just the right way to visually represent the inverse square law. The fixed number of lines gets diluted over the larger area.
Okay, that's actually a very elegant visual. The same amount of field influence is just spread thinner over a bigger area further away.
Precisely.
That really helps. Now, our source material also brings up this other related concept, something called a solid angle. What exactly is that? It sounds a bit abstract.
It does sound a bit mathy, but the concept is helpful. Think of a regular angle, like a slice of a pie, in two dimensions. We measure it in degrees or radians.
Okay.
A solid angle is basically the three-dimensional version of that. Imagine making a cone shape with its point at our central charge extending outwards.
Like an ice cream cone shape radiating out.
Exactly. That cone defines a certain solid angle. Now, the key thing is that solid angle, that sort of coneness, stays the same no matter how far away from the point charge you look along the cone.
Okay, the cone keeps spreading, but the angle itself is fixed.
Right, and figure 1.13 of materials shows this. If you look at two little patches of area at different distances, say R1 and R2, but both lying within that same cone, that same side angle, then the same number of field lines will pass through both of those patches.
The same number?
Yeah.
But the patches must be different sizes, right? The one further away is bigger.
Exactly. The area of the patch further away at R2 is larger than the one closer in at R1. And in fact, the area increases proportionally to R2 squared, just like the sphere's surface area did.
Ah, I see where this is going.
So if you have the same number of lines going through an area that's increasing like R squared, then the density of lines, the number per unit area, must again decrease as 1 over R squared.
So the solid angle perspective is just another way to see how the spreading of lines automatically gives you that inverse square relationship for the field strength.
That's exactly it. It reinforces the idea using a slightly different geometrical concept. It describes a fixed slice of the space around the charge.
Okay, that's starting to click much better now. Yeah. So this whole idea, this visualization of field lines, the source mentions it was invented by a particular scientist, Faraday.
Indeed. Michael Faraday, a truly brilliant experimental physicist. He's credited with inventing this concept of field lines.
Why did he come up with it? What problem was he trying to solve?
Well, he was grappling with that fundamental puzzle. How can charged objects affect each other across empty space? Without touching.
Action at a distance.
Right. It was a deep mystery. So Faraday envisioned these lines as a way to intuitively, and really importantly, non-mathematically, represent the invisible electric forces filling the space around charged objects.
So it was a conceptual tool, not just math.
Very much so. He actually called them lines of force originally.
Lines of force. Makes sense.
It does. But the term field lines is generally preferred now. As our source points out, it turns out to be a bit more accurate and less potentially confusing, especially when you start talking about magnetic fields later on. The connection to force is a little more subtle there sometimes.
Ah, okay. So field lines is the better, more general term.
Yes. But it's just fascinating to think that this very visual, almost physical way of picturing things was a key step towards understanding electromagnetism as a whole.
Yeah, a real breakthrough. Makes perfect sense. Okay. Let's get a bit more precise then. If we had to formally define an electric field line, what is the definition?
Okay, formally speaking, an electric field line is defined as a curve, drawn in such a way that the tangent to the curve at any point along that line.
The tangent, like the instantaneous direction.
Exactly. Okay. The tangent indicates the exact direction of the net electric field at that specific point in space.
The net field, okay.
And as the source emphasizes, just drawing the line isn't quite enough. We need an arrow on the curve to show the specific direction along that tangent. Is the field pointing this way or that way along the line?
Right. Direction matters.
And while we often draw them in 2D, just for simplicity in diagrams, it's crucial to remember that these field lines are generally curves existing in three-dimensional space.
Okay, so the line shows the pathway, and the tangent at any point gives the field's direction there. That's a clear picture. Our source also gives some helpful examples, showing what these lines look like for simple situations like single charges or two charges interacting. Figure 1.14, right?
Absolutely. That figure is very illustrative.
Can you walk us through those basic patterns?
Sure. So for a single positive charge all by itself, the electric field lines just radiate straight outwards in all directions, symmetrically, like needles sticking out of a pincushion, maybe.
Okay. Radially outward.
Yep. Conversely, for a single negative charge, the field lines look similar in pattern, but the arrows point radially inwards. They all converge towards the negative charge.
Makes sense. Opposite direction for opposite charge. What about two charges?
Right. So if you have two positive charges near each other, you see the field lines starting on each charge moving outwards, but then bending away from the region between them. They curve as if they're pushing each other apart.
You can visually see the repulsion.
Exactly. It's a beautiful visual representation of that mutual repulsion.
Cool. And the other case, a positive and a negative.
That's the electric dipole case. Two charges, equal in size but opposite in sign. Here, the field lines start on the positive charge and curve smoothly around to end on the negative charge.
So they link up.
They link up, visually showing the attraction between the opposite charges. You see this nice pattern flowing from positive to negative.
Seeing those diagrams really does make a huge difference. You can almost feel the push and pull just by looking at the lines.
It provides that intuition Faraday was aiming for.
Definitely. Okay, finally, our source lays out some really important general properties, like rules that electric field lines always follow. What are the key rules we should keep in mind?
Yeah, there are four really crucial properties to remember. First one, electric field lines always originate or start on positive charges, and they terminate or end on negative charges.
Start on positive, end on negative. What if there's only one charge?
Good question. If you have just a single positive charge, for instance, the lines start on it and are considered to go outwards to end at infinity. For a single negative charge, they start at infinity and end on the charge.
Okay, so they have definite start and end points, or infinity. What's next?
Second, in any region of space where there are no electric charges, the electric field lines must be continuous curves. They don't just suddenly start or stop in empty space. There has to be a charge there for them to begin or end.
No breaks in the middle of nowhere. Got it.
Third property, and this one is very important. Two electric field lines can never cross each other.
Never cross. Why not?
Well, think about the definition. The tangent to the line at any point gives the direction of the electric field at that point. If two lines crossed, then at that single point of intersection, there would be two different tangents.
Meaning the field would have two different directions at the same time.
Exactly, which is physically impossible for a static electric field. The field at any given point has one unique direction. So the lines can get close, but they never intersect.
Okay, that's a critical rule. Never cross. And the last one.
The fourth property is that electrostatic field lines, the kind we're talking about from stationary charges, do not form closed loops. They always start and end somewhere on charges or at infinity.
No loops, like circles.
Right. This is actually related to a deeper fundamental property of static electric fields, the fact that they are conservative. That's maybe a topic for another deep dive, but the consequence for visualization is no closed loops for static electric field.
Okay, let's recap those rules quickly. Start on positive, end on negative or infinity.
Check.
Continuous and charge-free space.
Yeah.
Never, ever cross each other.
Crucial.
And no closed loops for static fields.
That's the set.
Those seem like really helpful guidelines if you're trying to sketch or just visualize these fields. Okay, so wrapping this up, if we wanted to really boil down the big takeaway about electric field lines, what would it be?
I'd say the fundamental takeaway is that electric field lines are an incredibly valuable visual tool. Mm. They're not just pretty pictures. They represent both the direction and the relative strength of electric fields in space.
Direction and strength.
Right. The tangent to a field line at any point shows you the field's direction right there.
Which way a positive charge would be pushed.
Exactly. And how densely packed the lines are in any particular region tells you how strong the field is there. Closed lines, strong field, spread out lines, weak field.
And understanding these visual representations, maybe even without needing to wrestle with all the math straight away, it seems like it could really make it easier to think about and understand more complex electrical stuff later on.
Absolutely. It gives you a sort of mental map, an intuitive framework to work with when you encounter electric charges and fields interacting.
Yeah, a framework. I like that.
It bridges the gap between abstract equations and physical intuition.
Okay, so here's a final thought then for you, our listener, to ponder. We've spent this time seeing how the concept of field lines helps us picture an invisible force like electricity.
Uh-huh.
Now think about other force fields you encounter. What about gravity? It's another invisible force acting at a distance.
Good comparison.
How might this idea of field lines, maybe lines emanating from, you know, planets or stars, massive objects, help you visualize the force of gravity? What similarities, or maybe differences, might you imagine between gravitational field lines and the electric field lines we've been discussing?
That's an interesting question to mull over. How would density work? Where would the lines start and end?
Exactly. Something to think about, maybe even sketch out in your mind as you go about your day.